Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the eLaborate Topics podcast. We're so excited to join you all for another week of exciting mentorship, tips, and other things to help you excel inside and outside the laboratory. So before we get too far into it, make sure that you stop what you're doing and share this episode out. If you aren't already a part of our group on LinkedIn, make sure you pop over and join our group on LinkedIn so you can continue in on our conversation. Today is a roundtable with myself and my co-host, Tywana Wilson and Lona Small. So how are you ladies doing today? How's it going?
I am doing awesome. No complaints whatsoever. Happy to be here in the studio with you all for another roundtable.
I'm doing great and I'm excited about this episode.
It's always a good time when we can get all three of us on a show. So let's get straight into it, because today we will be talking about how to deal with difficult people. Oh, it's hot in Texas right now. It's the summertime as I record with this. So this is a timely topic. It's don't bother me because it's hot season here in Texas. So everybody, no matter where you are in your career, could always use tips on dealing with difficult people. If you're working in industry, if you're working in the clinical lab, if you're an entrepreneur, there is no doubt that you might run into an individual in your career that you consider difficult. And let me ask you ladies a question. How has developing tips on dealing with difficult people helped you in your leadership journeys?
I think it's helped me because as the workplace is becoming more diverse, you are having to employ different strategies. So when I first got in management, maybe 15 years or so ago, the laboratory landscape looked very different. So some of the techniques that I learned in school, some of the strategies that I learned in school were perfect for that time. But now that we have more technology, we have people who grew up during technology and have only known technology, i.e. the internet, you have to communicate differently. So I think always adding new tools to your toolbox so that you can be able to relate to different people, difficult people, and so that you don't lose your composure or get emotional and make emotional decisions.
Yes, I totally agree with Tywana. I realize that the way we used to deal with people in the day, we had structures and people fit into those boxes. Leadership decide this is how we're going to go and this is how we will go. You either take it or you leave it. That's how it used to be. But now just my personal development has taught me so much when it comes to people, understanding people, how to relate to them, that now I think that there are so many tools available that can really help you to deal with different personalities, different situations. And I think we have probably more effective tools nowadays. So I'm really excited.
I agree with everything you ladies said. When it comes to leadership, it involves dealing with a variety of people, and some of those people can be more difficult than others. And let's face it, difficult in terms of an adjective to describe people is relative to your perspective, right? So if you think about your lab, there might be one person in your area or in your section or in your entire department, whether it be a technologist or a pathologist or a resident, that other people shy away from. They don't want them in the meetings. They maybe dance around conversations that involve that person. And when a conversation does need to be had, they call on you. Go talk to that person for us, or maybe try to soften them up a little. And you've become the difficult person whisperer in your department. So there's no doubt that you have to develop some type of strategies to deal with people you perceive are difficult. It's important for a leader to be able to identify a person that is difficult and then develop strategies to manage them. And so in this podcast, we'll be doing both. We'll be giving you tips on how to identify difficult people, strategies for how to deal with them, and then strategies for yourself, how to maintain your emotional composure and stay in the conversation professionally. So when we talk about identifying a difficult person, all of these, again, are relative to your perspective, and you may be able to add a couple of characteristics to this. And if I miss anything, like I said, pop over to our chat in LinkedIn and continue the conversation and tell us some of the things that you have found difficult in terms of people's characteristics to deal with. But in my experience, a difficult person is one that I identify is unwilling to compromise. Clinical practice is always changing. Laboratory operations are always changing. And these are the people who feel like this is the way we've always done it. We can't do it any different. They got a million reasons why new processes, new procedures, new ways won't work. There's a tendency in these individuals to argue or be defensive in their attitude when we're presented with a challenge. And we know that in the laboratory, challenges are inevitable, right? And they also perhaps demonstrate a lack of respect for authority or unwillingness to accept constructive criticism. Other characteristics could be that they whine, complain, blame, or even gossip. And you have to always be aware of emotional outbursts or things that can be inappropriate for the workplace in terms of behavior. These are people who may even make sarcastic or insulting remarks around the workplace or be rude or considered rude to their colleagues or supervisors and refuse to acknowledge any mistakes that are made on their part. And Taiwana and Lona both talked about the way that our workforce is now. And so another characteristic might be that these people have a lack of consciousness for a DE&I lens. And we've got a very diverse workforce. And so anybody who is oblivious to that or unconscious to that or unwilling to be cognizant of the differences of others in the workplace could be a difficult person to work around. Somebody who's uncooperative or unproductive in the team, and they blame others when we make mistakes. It's always difficult for me when I'm working with people who handle situations drastically different than I am, because I'm a process improver. I'm big on process improvement. I'm big on looking at a challenge and just trying to find a way that we can move through it. I'm big on not saying no, but saying yes, if we can move these obstacles out of the way, we can get things done. And so it's always difficult for me when people have an opposite standpoint or opposite viewpoint on those things. But again, everybody is different. There are so many varieties of attitudes in the workplace. And this isn't specific to any one laboratory or any one sector in healthcare. Whether you're a pharmacist, a nurse, whether you work at Taco Bell or Whataburger, you will encounter a difficult customer, a difficult person, a difficult supervisor. And so don't worry about job hopping and trying to leave these people, because they will be at the next job you go to. So the best thing to do is to focus on you. Focus on tactics that you can use to be able to deal with the interactions you have with people you perceive are difficult. And so I'm going to go straight into it, because I'm sure you guys are chomping at the bit wanting to know, okay, we know who the difficult people are. I already have a person in my mind. I already got somebody I'm thinking about that is difficult for me to work with. And so I'm going to go ahead and let Lona tell us what strategies you can use when you are dealing with a difficult person.
Oh, Stephanie, you gave a list of what we consider difficult people. And of course, we all encounter that person that we think that they always have their own way of doing things. And one thing I would say at first is, let's try not to label people. I know it's very difficult not to label. I've had my share where I thought that this person, there's no way I can work with her in a process improvement because it's so rigid. And then I've just decided that I'm going to try to understand where she was coming from. And it really turned things around. I just thought that we were always on the opposite end. And I made that decision to really understand where she's coming from. And I know for us, a lot of mistakes that we usually make, or it's really common among all of us, when we're interacting with people who we may call difficult or antagonistic, we usually get defensive. And we usually take it personally because sometimes they're pushing, that button gets pushed, and either we either shut down, or we may lash out, or we may get into that victim mode. And a lot of times when that happens, that's where the toxicity start breeding. Either we close down, we don't talk to that person because we like, I can't deal with them, I can deal with their personality. So I'm gonna go through different strategies. I know for me, one of the main reasons why I didn't wanna go in leadership was because of what I thought leaders had to deal with, difficult people and the drudgery of paperwork. But once I went and did my healthcare MBA, a lot of things happened. And I realized that there's not that one way to deal with people. There's a lot of win-win ways to deal with challenging situations and challenging people. And I'm going to mention quite a few. There's a lot of school of thoughts. And I know later on, Taiwana is going to come in and talk about the emotional part of it. So I'm going to really list a lot of the school of thought, and I'm going to go into depth with one. So some people use emotional intelligence to deal with difficult people. So they are aware of their own triggers. They are aware of other people's triggers. And so with that, they can actually manage the full relationship with empathy and understanding the motivation for themselves and for others. That's one. Then there's the nonviolent communication, where people have a way in which they talk through challenges and they try not to use judgmental language. They try to use empathy, and that comes a lot. Empathy comes up a lot. And they try to say, they address their concern to say, next time, this is how I'd want this dealt with, without making a lot of demands. So that's that nonviolent communication. And then there's the DISC assessment. I know Ty want to talk a lot about that, where you really try to identify the different communication and behavioral style, and you adapt to that based on different approach for that. Then there's the conflict resolution. That is a very standard school of thought in leadership and management, where there's the active listening. You're validating the person's concern. You're trying to find common ground. And a lot of time they separate the people from the problem. And then they either try to divide the pie or they expand the pie to kind of come up with a win-win resolution. There's mindfulness. There's just so many different schools of thought. But in general, the bottom line is you want to have an approach where you're slowing down your reaction. You're trying to avoid assumption. You're listening with empathy. You're finding constructive solution. And basically, you're balancing your self-awareness. You're understanding each other. You're coming up with a win-win situation. Like I said, there could be a lot of things that I could talk about. But my strategy that I'm going to use today is through positive intelligence. And I know a lot of you may have heard through different podcasts that I've done that I've been trained as an executive coach utilizing the positive intelligent methodology by Shazad Shamin. And I'm really excited about that. I've learned so many other methodology, whether through grad school or just reading and training. But with this, I find that when you use it, it's not just you're growing, but that person that you probably have written off, they get to grow along with it. So everyone really grows through this situation. So generally, we talk about all these things that goes on in our head. We talk about saboteur, that negative thinking that sometimes could cause that behavior, either in that person or in yourself, the way you respond. And then you talk about the sage. The sage, it really lives in the region of your brain where there's positive emotion, peace, calm, clear-headed focus, creativity, and big picture thinking. And so we're going to talk about how you can use that to really address a difficult person. And the general thought about the SAGE perspective is that in every difficult person or situation, it presents an opportunity. So with every difficult situation presents an opportunity, and there are three gifts that you get out of it. You get the gift of knowledge, where you learn a lot from that situation. You get the gift of power or influence, where you get strength, you grow from that situation. And you get the gift of inspiration, where you're really taking that inspiring action that you commit to that you wouldn't have taken if this bad person or bad situation did not happen. So you're really benefiting. And I know this is such an extreme to how people would look at these situations. And that's why I'm excited about positive intelligence. And that's why I really wanted as many lab and lab leaders and team to use this, because it's really amazing the results that you get out of it. So I'm going to use an example. Say, for instance, a coworker is really very critical about a procedure, because we get that a lot. And so your instinct is, as a leader, maybe to argue or just avoid them. Stephanie would say, that person over there, we stay away from them. They're always coming up with something. So in order to utilize the gift of knowledge, you really get curious about why they act so rigid. And sometimes it's really amazing what comes up if you're in a non-threatening environment to realize that maybe that person made an error with a certain procedure. And so instead of being vulnerable, so instead of saying, I want to prevent making an error, they start criticizing. And so that's an opening for you to resolve that. Or a doctor may call and they're very angry and they're complaining about a result that was issued that was incorrect. And so instead of you being defensive, you use the gift of power. So there's a gift of knowledge that you just use. You can use the gift of power or influence. You just remain calm. You apologize for the mistake. You validate the frustration and you come up with, this is how we're going to prevent it from happening. Now you have the gift of influence, because they see you as an influential person. So you're finding a common ground. And then the last one is the gift of inspiration. So that way you kind of reframe problem with solution. I know Stephanie was talking about process improvement. A lot of times you're in process improvement and people are coming up with different ideas. This is the solution. So the gift of inspiration, the way to use it, there's a way you do ideation, in which somebody come up with an idea and you find, even if it's 0.1% of what they like, I like the idea that you said and what that triggers for me is, and then you move forward with your idea without hitting that other person's idea. And that's really that gift of inspiration that you get out of it. So the last thing I'll say about positive intelligence and using that SAGE technique, where you have those three gifts that we talk about, is different steps in which you use. So the first thing you do, you empathize. Whenever there's a difficult situation, a difficult person, you try to empathize and connect to understand any of those unmet needs. Like we talk about, that person made an error and instead they're very defensive and critical. So you empathize, you connect, you try to understand their unmet needs, what is driving that behavior. Next, you explore. Now they're in a place where they're open, so you can explore, you can ask questions, you get a chance to reveal any motivation behind it, and you find a common ground. Then you innovate, which we talk about, that brainstorming when you're in a process improvement thing, where you're coming up with ideas and win-win scenario to transform the conflict. So now that person feels safe with you, so you can innovate and they're like, this is what I think. And then you're like, I like the idea when you say, and what that triggers for me is, you both innovate, then you navigate, that is, you try to say, okay, from all these ideas, what is it that we can come up with? You're really calm about it. You're detached from the outcome. and you try to pick your battle wisely and try to come up with a solution that will actually benefit either your team or the process improvement or whatever it is. And then you activate. So you come up with any shared goals that appeal to any positive potential. So basically, those are steps, and we can put them in the show notes, where you empathize, you explore, you innovate, you navigate, and you activate. And I've used that a lot with leaders who come to me and say, there's all this conflict. I spend all of my time with HR issues, and I know there's no way we can fix it. So just tell me just what to do. I know we're not going to fix it. And we go through that whole empathize, explore. We go through the whole step, innovate, navigate. And they come up with an answer. And they're like, oh, my goodness, I did not think that we could come up with an answer. And so that's why I find it so powerful. So really mastering these skills really allow lab leaders to handle the most antagonistic person and really move forward, make progress with that. So really, we can see difficult personalities as an opportunity to learn, to grow, and to lift your team up and just bring out the sage, which we call the sage perspective, within the team. So that's what I have about that. I know it was a mouthful. Ladies, anything you'd want to add?
I appreciate the perspective, because the most important thing that I got from what Lona said is, as you're practicing those three understandings of when you're dealing with a difficult person, none of it was about the other person. It was all about how you choose to respond, how you choose to control yourself in that situation, because that's the only person you can respond. You can't control, right? You can't control what another person is going to do or say, or how they choose to react, or how even they choose to present at work. But you can control yourself, and you can control your mindset and how you choose to view a situation. And even when a situation might get heated, if you choose not to return anger for anger, control yourself in that situation. And then maybe know when to stop, maybe know when to step away and ask for assistance. Maybe say, you know what, this conversation doesn't seem like it's a productive time to have this conversation. Perhaps we step away, have some thoughtful separation in time, and then maybe set up a scheduled time to readdress this next week, and perhaps add more people that can help mediate the conversation or add different perspectives that will help the conversation flow better. And if you're not in a leadership role and you're just having a difficult time with another person in your laboratory, maybe another tech or another phlebotomist, perhaps you stop the conversation and go grab a member of management that can help you mediate those conversations. But the best advice and the most important piece of that is just know yourself and control yourself before the situation gets to a point of no return.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Definitely knowing yourself. And one of the things that Lona mentioned when she first started was about labeling and labeling people as difficult. So it reminded me of this. Don't label a person by the actions that happen on their worst day. So sometimes we feel like people are difficult people because they have one bad day, and then they can never recover. And sometimes that's very unfortunate in our environments when that may not be the case. So it made me think about that in society, of what we label as difficult people. And I also thought about, as Lona was talking, when we say differing viewpoints, sometimes you can get labeled as a difficult person if you do have that differing viewpoint from the status quo or the normal. So depending on your environment, you might be in an environment where people are used to everybody going with whatever the leader says, or what the idea of whatever the leader says. And when somebody has a different idea, it's not always viewed upon as favorable. It almost seems like they are just coming up with their own thing. So it made me think about that too, because I'm often in meetings and you see a lot of times people go with the status quo, even if they may have a differing opinion, because they don't want to be labeled a difficult person. So that's something to think about as well. One of the things you can do if you are in one of those kind of environments is that for your meetings, always have or designate a person that has the opposing viewpoint. That way you're always getting each side of the story before you make decisions and put processes in place. But that was not what I was asked to talk about for this roundtable. What I was asked to talk about was managing your emotions and maintaining your composure. So as you are dealing with these difficult people that are truly making the environment difficult, it is going to be difficult sometimes to manage your emotions. But one of the things you have to do is stop and recognize your emotion in that moment. Acknowledge your emotions. So if it's frustration or anger, think about that and what is bringing that about. Lona said in her piece that she didn't know if she could work with a particular colleague, just maybe due to past association with that person. So think about when you have these difficult people and the emotion that's coming up, is it a trigger from the past for you? Is it a trigger because you work with somebody like that in the past? Is it a trigger because it was a past difficult experience for you? So recognizing your emotions. You also want to practice active listening. Nothing gets done, heard, if everybody is hollering at the top of their lungs. So you want to make sure that you listen. When you get upset and angry and the situation is difficult, sometimes it's best just to be still. Be a good listener if you can without interrupting. This is a way that will de-escalate the situation. And it also can show the other person that you value their perspective and willing to hear it out. You want to remain calm. I know it's going to be difficult, especially if you are heated and it was a trigger that could have been from a past experience in your life that wasn't pleasant. Sometimes these difficult people may bring out past trauma. So that's what I'm saying. In the workplace, we are so diverse on a multitude of scales that we don't even think about how past traumas can play out in the workplace. So trying to remain as calm as possible. Lona talked about it, empathizing and putting yourself in the other person's shoes. So understanding the perspective of somebody else. So by trying to see things from their point of view, and that will allow you to be able to respond in a more compassionate and patient way. You want to set boundaries. So as you are dealing with these difficult people, communicating firm but polite. So you don't want to give mixed signals, but you don't want to be rude either. So these are ways to help protect your well-being and maintain a respectful relationship. Avoid escalation. We do not want security. We do not want any fighting. We cannot have that in the workplace. So avoid escalation. This is why it's important that you have to recognize your emotions and you have to know yourself to know when it may be a time that you may need to walk away. So avoiding that aggressive behavior. I've been in work environments where things have gotten quite heated and I didn't know if a camera was going to pop out because in the workplace, I just knew this had to be something that was on a reality show. It could not be in a professional workplace. So make sure you think about that at all times. So avoiding escalation, taking a break if need be. So stepping away from the situation. Sometimes it's beyond your control and you don't know what to do. Maybe you've not encountered that situation before. So seek support and advice. Stephanie and Lona both talked about from mentors or other experienced leaders or colleagues for insights and solutions. You want to focus on solutions, not blame. So we want to create those win-wins, as Lona talked about earlier. And most importantly, you want to learn from your experience so that you can reflect and be able to move forward in case if you have to encounter these difficult people again, which you will, as long as you are working or living or breathing, you are going to encounter some difficult people along the way. Now, there are some consequences if you do not manage your emotions or you lose your composure. And some of those consequences could be damaging relationships, right? You go off one time and lose your composure and don't have the right emotions for the situation, you could damage relationships. It could lead to a decrease in productivity. You can't focus at work because you're looking around and there's too many distractions, arguments, poor decision making, negative reputation. You don't want to be labeled as that person that always goes off, or if somebody brings an opposing viewpoint, that you are going to have a negative response to it. It could have an impact on your health, where you have increased stress, anxiety, or other health issues, a loss of credibility. So if you are the leader and you are going off, you are not able to handle a diverse workforce, that could be a loss of credibility for you if you are the manager. And then we are people, right? So as people, when we lose control, lose our composure, we sometimes have regret and guilt as well for the situation that may have happened. So those are a few ways of how you can manage your emotions and maintain your composure. There are also some effective communication strategies too that I want you to think about as you're thinking about your emotions and your composure, is that clarifying and paraphrasing what you think somebody heard. So as you are in these situations, make sure you understand the intent of what the person is even saying if you find yourself in a potential conflict. So you can restate what they said to make sure that you fully understood it. Sometimes we're moving so fast, we may not even fully hear what the other person maybe have said. And you want to use some I statements as well. That'll just help you out really in any regard. So you don't necessarily want to be talking and giving a viewpoint of the group because you maybe don't know what the group feels. So using your I statements so that you're not sounding confrontational or accusatory. So this could be something like, I feel concerned about meeting this project deadline with the resources that I have. Versus, you don't think we're really going to meet this project deadline now, do you, with these resources? It could sound a little bit different. Speak from I point of views. So those are things that I came up with. And then I will just leave you with a practical example, because we're always talking about empowering our leaders and managers and our workforce. So if you're not a leader or manager, just think about this so that when you are a leader or manager. So imagine you are a manager in the lab and you encounter a situation where a team member is feeling frustrated and upset due to a change in schedule. So now you need people to work overtime and the schedule has changed. Here's a practical way of how you can manage your emotions and maintain a composure while addressing this situation. So I talked about earlier, recognizing your emotions. Take a moment to acknowledge any emotions you're feeling or as such of a concern or frustration. Find a private setting to discuss this issue with the team member. Environment matters. It can escalate a situation quickly if the environment is not conducive to the conversation. Active listening. Listen attentively as the team member shares their concerns and frustrations with you of having to work overtime and this schedule change. Stay calm and empathetic. Remain composed and show empathy throughout the conversation, because this schedule change could impact the way that they have to pick up their kids or, you know, their daycare situation or school situation. You want to make sure you use empathetic language, using phrases such as, I understand this is challenging for you. You also want to clarify or paraphrase any of their points that they mentioned to you so that you understand, so that you are on the same page with what they said and ensure understanding. You also want to validate their feelings, so let them know their emotions are valid. Stay professional. I know they are going to be frustrated because this is something that's different for them, but you have to maintain your professionalism, even if they become emotional. problem solving mode. So collaborate and find some solutions. Maybe there is a solution that would be a win-win for you both. Setting clear expectations on next steps and the resolution of the conversation, and then making sure that you follow up. So that was just a practical example of if you were a manager dealing with a frustrated team member of managing your emotions and maintaining your composure, especially in a difficult situation. Ladies, what are you all's thoughts?
One thing that I mentioned in terms of some techniques is the nonviolent communication. And I think maybe the listeners could look that up. It's really quick and very effective, the different steps that you take to go back whenever there's a situation, just using the facts and just say, this is what happened and this is how it made me feel. And next time around, this is what I'd want you to do. If you look it up and how you use it, there's not a lot of opportunities to argue. It's more about stating the fact, being very clear, not talking about things that never happened or how you felt about it, but just state the fact, how it made you feel, and what your expectations are. And I find that very effective. So that's a nonviolent communication. Please look that up.
One thing that I find effective is, particularly when the conversation is over, dealing with people that you perceive as difficult or navigating a conversation with a person that you perceive to be difficult or a crucial conversation, as we call it sometimes, is hard. At the end, give yourself credit. It's not easy to practice some of these tactics that we're talking about. It's not always easy to have the highest level of emotional intelligence. So when you're able to do that, sometimes it takes a lot of energy out of you. Sometimes if that happens close to the end of the day, I'm packing it up. I'm ready to go home. Now, this was enough for me. It takes a lot out of you. I can recall days in management where you've had multiple conversations, maybe with different people throughout the day, and it does become taxing. So give yourself credit. We don't have perfect moments all of the time. And so when you're going through these moments, you're doing the best that you can. And another thing that has helped me, and it goes back to some other things that we've talked about in terms of networking, is find you a trusted colleague or a mentor that you can debrief some of these conversations with. I'm recalling even recently a colleague of mine that I work with outside of my professional career. We reached out to Taiwana and another friend, and we all debriefed on a situation that we felt like was difficult. And just hearing another person's perspective, particularly when you've had some time and some space from the event, in hearing, because you get in your own head, you start making up your own stories, you turn people into villains in your head. But debriefing that conversation with another person and hearing their perspective and having another person who can give you just more insight, to me, has always been incredible for growth. And so that's another reason to expand your network, grow your professional circle, and surround yourself with people who are growth-minded and have your best intentions at heart. So when you're going through these conversations and you're continuing on your journey as a leader or just as a professional, you have people to lean on.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. I think, too, you need to give yourself some grace, right? So we can give you as many strategies and tips and techniques as we desire to give you. However, every situation, even with the best, well thought out plan, may not go according to plan or as you desire. So make sure you do give yourself some grace as you are dealing with difficult people and navigating some of these different conflicts. And then really the only way you get better, unfortunately, is when you have more practice, you get better. So that's what I'm saying. Give yourself some grace. The very first time that you encounter a difficult person, you may run through your head all of these things we talked about, and it still may not go according to plan with the person on the other end. So ladies, as we get ready to wrap up this episode of Elaborate Topics, do you have any final closing remarks you want to leave our listeners with?
This really caused me to think about the importance of utilizing certain strategies, not only for leaders, but for the team. And so when I was researching this and really looking at positive intelligence and seeing the importance of practicing, like you say, on a daily basis, even when these scenarios don't come up, find a way in which you can practice this on a daily basis and really help with your sage so that whenever there's a trigger, you have a technique to deal with it. So if you want to learn more about positive intelligence, reach out to me. Your whole team can participate. These are things that you practice on a daily basis in different situations, whether it's a major situation or a minor situation. So when you're placing that situation, it's easier for you to respond.
I completely agree. I would say, just like we said, the only way to get better at it is to practice. So give yourself some grace, learn as much as you can, and don't be afraid. Go confidently in conversations and understand that you're doing your best every single time.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Elaborate Topics, where we, your co-hosts, Tywana Wilson, Lona Small, and Stephanie Whitehead, talked about the topic of dealing with difficult people. Make sure that you like, subscribe, and share this podcast out. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can go to directimpactbroadcasting.com. We're also on LabVine's LabStream. So make sure you go over there and check us out as well. And if you want to be a guest on this show, please reach out. Or if you know somebody that should be on this show, throw their name in the hat. Sharing is caring. So make sure you let us know who they are. Maybe they are absolutely amazing at dealing with difficult people, and they can offer some additional insights. We would love to have them on another episode. So thank you so much. And until next time, my friends, I hope you have an amazing week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.